Let's begin with Dr. Mohammad Dajani. He was a professor at Al-Quds University in Jerusalem, and he comes from a distinguished Palestinian family. Its roots in Jerusalem go back to the 16th century. And the American-educated Dr. Dajani had a proud history in the secular Palestinian nationalist movement. In the late 1960s, the Israelis even revoked his residency permit because he advocated Palestinian rights. In 1993, he was able to return to Jerusalem, advising the new Palestinian Authority and later teaching at Al-Quds. But in March last year, Mohammad Dajani found himself caught in a major controversy in his own community. He took 27 Palestinian students to visit Auschwitz. So what was all the fuss about?
We returned from the trip to find a huge uproar within the Palestinian community and on the social networks. People were very upset that this took place. Some were upset for reasons that they considered this trip as normalization. Others were upset because this trip was to bring awareness about the Holocaust to Palestinian students. In this way, they thought that this will empower the Zionist narrative versus the Palestinian narrative. But basically, the trip was about education, about learning, about finding out for oneself the truth. So it was totally taken out of context.
For your efforts on that trip, you were labeled a traitor, is that right? They were actions of treason?
Yeah. On the social networks, there were lots of calls for actually actions against me. And at the same time, the student unions on campus, nine of them, issued a statement, the headline of which was normalization equals treason. And they accused me of committing treason because of the trip.
You actually come from a very strong Palestinian nationalist background, don't you?
Yes.
I mean, how did it affect you personally to be labeled a traitor?
The question is that there was a clash between truth, compassion, mercy, empathy, and the collective narrative. And so I chose the truth over collective narrative. But I knew that there will be a backlash, that people will be criticizing what I did. However, I thought it was the right thing to do.
You ended up resigning from your job at Al-Quds University.
Yeah.
And your resignation was accepted, I think, by an old friend of yours, Sari Nusseibeh.
Yes.
Why did he accept your resignation, even though your families had been friends, I think, going back centuries?
Basically because I think of outside pressure and also pressure within the campus. When I met with him, he said, I did not do anything that will break university regulations at the same time that he supports what I did, and that's academic freedom. However, I believe that on the public level, the university could not take that stand and issued a statement saying that they have nothing to do with the trip. So when the environment on campus became very hostile, it was impossible for me to conduct my usual day-to-day work and study and teaching at the university. I tendered the resignation in the hope that the university will take a stand and will reject the resignation in order to tell the community that I did not do wrong, and this is part of academic freedom, that this is education. Education should not be indoctrination. Unfortunately, that did not happen.
Now, there is a legitimate debate to be had about the use of history in Israel, and we will come to that in a moment. But why did you consider it so important to take Palestinians to Auschwitz, perhaps the most iconic of all the symbols of the Nazi Holocaust, of the genocide of the 6 million? Why did you think that was so important?
Actually, it happened that in 2011, I was invited to go to Auschwitz by an organization called Al-Adin, which is in Paris. To me, it was a first experience, and it was a very shocking experience. It made me wonder, why is it that we keep denying the Holocaust, or we keep ignoring it, or linking it with the Palestinian Nakba, or claiming it is Zionist propaganda to elicit sympathy for the Jewish cause. However, I thought that this should not be the situation and there should be change. I did an article that was published in the New York Times entitled "Why Should Palestinians Learn About the Holocaust?" with a friend of mine, Robert Sutloff. And the reason for that is that Dr. Robert Sutloff has written a book and made a movie about Muslims who helped Jews during the Holocaust. Mm. So his work, actually, as a Jew, trying to show the truth despite the odds facing him, because the Jewish community in the beginning did not look at that favorably. So it inspired me to do the same on our side, trying to bring awareness to the Palestinians on the Holocaust as part of truth searching.
Yes, and you don't think that this subculture in some parts of the Arab world of denial, you don't think that helps the legitimate Palestinian cause, do you?
Definitely, definitely not.
How does it hinder that legitimate cause?
Definitely, because you cannot deny history, and it's immoral to deny what has happened. We should actually, in the memory of the victims that took place, whether Jews or non-Jews, that we should honor that memory, and we cannot honor it by denying that it happened. Mm. So it is very unethical, immoral, and unrealistic, really, to deny what has happened. And for people who deny it, they should go and visit.
You were quoted in the Washington Post as saying that the Holocaust has become a political weapon on both sides in Israel. How has it been used politically?
Actually, it is part of the Israeli narrative, and it is part of the Palestinian narrative. Israeli narrative focuses on it too much. Palestinian narrative focuses on it from the other side of the coin. The Palestinians, when they look at the Holocaust, they look at the small picture of prison guards, barbed wires, and other aspects that they compare it with their own situation in Palestine. However, when the Israelis look at the Holocaust, they look at it from the big picture that it meant to eradicate a people, a culture, a civilization, just because they were Jews. And in such, I wanted to bring together an understanding, to put one in the shoes of the other so that they can look at that and understand where the other come from. Because unless we understand the psychology and the background of the other, we cannot live with the other.
The Palestinian displacement in 1948 is not acknowledged in broader Israel, is it? I mean, a 2009 law prevents any official recognition and withdraws money to any group that commemorates the founding of Israel in 1948 rather than celebrating it.
Exactly, and that's why Palestinians and my students actually told me, why should we learn about the Holocaust when it is illegal for Israelis to learn about the Nakba? And my answer was simple, because you will be doing the right thing. Mm. And so in this way, I believe that if the other is doing something which is not right, that doesn't mean I should follow that example. Look into my heart and see what is right and do it.
That is a very good place to end our conversation. We've been speaking with Dr. Mohammad Dajani. He's a fellow with the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. He's also a Palestinian historian and political scientist who quite controversially took a group of 27 Palestinian students to Auschwitz to recognize the Holocaust. And he's been in Australia as a guest of the Limud Oz Festival of Jewish Culture and Literature. Professor Dajani, thank you very much for being with us on the Religion and Ethics Report.
Thank you very much for inviting me to be here.